And thank you for joining us on KVCR for KVC Arts. Arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, welcoming back Jonathan Courant to talk about a release which came out in the fall of 2025. A wonderful live release recorded in concert to be put out as a live album. First, though, a single which timed out just right for this edition of KVC Arts.
One bright and guiding light that taught me wrong from right. I found in my mother's eyes. Those baby tales she told of streets all paved with gold, I found in my mother's eyes.
I'd like to go into this talking about my mother's eyes, as the first broadcast of this will indeed fall on Mother's Day. A nice coincidence there. Now, did you put this out Mother's Day? Was it last year or the year before?
I think it was last year.
One of the things I love about your releases, Jonathan, is that there have been quite a few cases of my only then realizing one song or another even had lyrics. You know, so sometimes it's a case of a song being done as an instrumental. Sometimes it's a tune which originally was an instrumental, but then along comes John Hendricks or somebody to make it a song. My Mother's Eyes, do you happen to know which way it came out first? I mean, I suspect the lyrical version for various reasons.
I think it had lyrics first, and I think Frankie Valli had a lot of success with it. Then people like Ella Fitzgerald and Etta Jones and different vocalists. I have a beautiful mother.
Hi, Nancy.
That's right. And I have a lot of beautiful family members and also friends that are not related, but beautiful women figures that have been very supportive through my life. And I also have a lot of mothers in my audience. So I've always loved the tune, and I just wanted to do it to not only recognize the extraordinary mother I've been given, but all the mothers that have come through my path and been very supportive.
Oh, that's beautiful. I felt like there had to have been a lyrical version first, because the one that I was most intimately familiar, the Sonny Stitt version, do you by chance know this one? It was the title cut from an early 60s release for him.
No, I haven't heard that one.
Jonathan, you should track it down. It's an instrumental, but it's one of those ones that I've used in the past to show people how a person will completely shape the notes to really articulate what would be words, or at least the feelings that go with those words. I mean, My Mother's Eyes, a beautiful, beautiful song, such a torch song in some cases, and in other cases, a beautiful dedication. And that's what we have from you on this one. It's really, really nice, and I always wanted to talk to you about it a bit.
God's gift sent from above, a real, real, real unselfish love. I found in my mother's eyes. Thank you.
With the live in concert release, was this recorded to be an album, or was it just a wonderful night and it happened to be captured? So, hey, let's release it.
Well, Joe Alterman and I have worked together on other projects in the past and worked together live. We always have a great time, and we always come off stage just laughing and go on stage laughing. So we were hanging out in a green room after a show once, and he turned to me and said, "We should do a live album. We need to capture this." And we picked the tunes that we've been doing for years together that we both kind of gravitate to. We always nerd out when we're together and share tunes. And some of the songs that are on there have meaning because they've been inspired or given to us kind of by some of our musical heroes. Both Joe and I have been really fortunate to meet and become friends with several of our musical heroes. So there's With These Hands and The Great City. Yeah. We're from Les McCann. That was his great mentor and good friend, Joe's.
Oh my gosh.
And then I pulled a couple of things that Nancy Wilson and Diane Shore, two ladies that I've had the pleasure of hanging with and getting to know. So it also has some symbolism of some jazz history, but the way it's kind of trickled to us by artists that we look up to and we're able to become friends. Also, there's one that was inspired by Ramsey Lewis.
Yes.
And
yes.
Joe got to become very close with Ramsey and opened for him on several occasions. And Joe now has Ramsey's grand piano. And I have Diane Shore's grand piano. So it's kind of funny how we both got pianos from our mentors and friends and musical heroes.
And you know what? We'll get to the Ramsey Lewis tune after a bit, but I have to say I like your version better, but we'll get to that better than the Ramsey Lewis version.
You.
But now, Joe Alterman, he's been with you for various performances, recordings for quite some time. He's one of the pianists on the Eclectic release. I know that he's quite often really a part of the lineup, depending on where you play, I guess. How far back does that go, you and Joe?
I think we first played together in 2012.
Okay. A little over a dozen
years. And we were both living in New York, and we had a mutual friend, Tony Middleton of the Willows. Then we connected, and we stayed in touch, and yeah.
You're in Las Vegas. Has he moved out this way, or is he still in New York, and so you meet up when you're in that region?
Joe was born and raised in Atlanta, and he moved back to Atlanta. So he's come out west, or he'll let me know when he's on this side of the country, plenty in advance, and vice versa. So we try to work things out to where we can hang together and make some music together.
This may air after your appearance there, but I believe you're going to be, what, in the Birdland or the Vanguard?
Birdland Jazz Club on May 10th, which is Mother's Day.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, even as this airs, that's where you're going to be. Oh, wow. A lot of coincidence happening on this one. It's music from and conversation with Jonathan Courant for this edition of KVC Arts. His most recent release is Jonathan Courant with the Joe Alterman Trio, live in concert. Jonathan always provides a wonderful array of tunes anytime you see him live or on any and all of his discs. Some jazz staples, some 70s pop radio hits reimagined for jazz, and some which come from the movies, and sometimes not the most serious of movies.
Up at dawn and sleepy and yawning, still the taste of wine. Then I remember you're mine and I got a world that's fine. What's before me, routines that bore me, punch the clock at 8. Then I remember you're mine and I got a world that's great.
This disc opens with We've Got a World That Swings. Okay, I laughed about this, as I said, because I take this so much more seriously coming from you rather than Jerry Lewis. high compliment there, Jerry. But
it's such a great tune, though. The movie is pretty quirky, and it's fun, but the tune really, it's exactly what it says. We've got a world that swings.
Yep, and it's a fun one, and I have to say, well, we could have gotten the Jerry Lewis that sort of, I don't know, you know, that kind of character, cartoony kind of voice. In this case, I always thought it was pretty much an impersonation of Sinatra or something like that, his take on it. But I really like that one, and especially your take on it. Maybe I'll stop laughing about this by the time I get done talking about it. I would guess that it's not the actual opener to the show, but it sets the stage quite nicely to open the disc. It lets us know what's ahead of us. It's a fun tune. It's upbeat. It's a swing to it. It's something that everybody can go into. And so my question, I guess, is not so much, okay, was this really the opener to the show, but sequencing of the album. Much like studio recordings, where you listened, felt it, and then put it in one place or another on the release, or were any of these truly how they appeared on the set list that night?
The whole record is exactly the set list.
Oh, whoa, as it was. So you truly open with We've Got a World That Swings and close with Tall Hope?
Yes. Ah. I thought that We've Got a World That Swings is exactly, you know, setting the stage, just a fun, swing, lighthearted tune, Nutty Professor. But then the Tall Hope, I wanted to close the show with that because it leaves the listener with a hopeful message. So those were the bookends there.
And you are so tall yourself. I listen to you and you're my height, but every time I've been around you, I get up next to you and we go in for a picture and I'm a full head or so shorter than you. Okay, well, that has nothing to do with your music, but I'm going to stay here because I got to laugh. So you putting this together, you are not only putting together a set list, but you were putting together what you wanted to be the album, how you wanted the album to flow. And I suppose a lot of that is very much an identical process, wouldn't it be? And actually, I'd love to hear about this. Assembling CDs, I would think that's much like, if not exactly like, putting together a set list for a performance. You got upbeat, okay, ballad. There's a pattern to it, of course, going along with the feeling of what's happening in the audience.
Yeah, you definitely want to flow, especially in live performance. You want it to, you know, have a lift, then maybe bring them down, then maybe take them over here, then move them over here, you know. But a live record, I wanted it to have that feeling. So with a studio album, you know, you still also want it to flow, in my opinion. But you can do a whole album of ballads or a whole album of one Latin groove or whatever, because I think that when you're, you know, chilling at home or driving down the road, you don't necessarily need that spontaneity and that action to be happening right before your eyes and ears.
Mm, that makes wonderful sense. You may just be in the mood for ballads, and then there's some albums that are put out there like that. It's just nothing but the ballads. We got a world that's sweet. It's music from Jonathan Courant's 2025 release, which was a concert assembled and performed to be a live release. Jonathan Courant with the Joe Alterman Trio live in concert. A great selection of tunes for this concert release, and some which are really suited quite well for the storytelling aspect to Jonathan singing.
If I had to choose just a one day to last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you.
Going into that Sunday that summer, the first time you and I spoke, Jonathan, I made a statement about really preferring your version of, I think it was Drinking Again, over Sinatra's take. And I feel like I mentioned that I felt with you it was much more believable and genuine. Now that said, I feel much the same way with your take on That Sunday That Summer. So much like Sinatra, Nat King Cole seems to be performing this song as opposed to really feeling it and really taking us inside his emotions. And this is what we get from you. And that's something that I appreciate so much. I think last time we spoke, I was so into the storytelling aspect of your delivery. And that's just really what I love every single time, the way we get this from you. Are you really deeply, deeply internalizing lyrics as you state them? Or maybe that's happened so much that by the time you're giving us the performance, that's just what's happening? Or do you try to really put yourself in the moment each time? An actor's
No, question. I really try. I try to put myself in the moment. You know, sometimes you fail there. And thank you for that huge compliment. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. You know, I'm really trying to focus in on the words on the lyrics and hopefully paint some word pictures to bring people to a nostalgic place or to, you know, a memory or maybe looking forward towards something that they have coming up. You know, I really want to take you somewhere. So I really strive at doing that. And hopefully when I do it right, it works.
It works wonderfully with, you know, whether it's in person, when I've seen you in concert. It's only been a couple of times so far, but there will be hopefully many, many more future times. But listening to your discs as well, you've been branded a storyteller along with being a wonderful vocalist. And I think that really says something really wonderful for a singer to have them actually tell people, stating the lyrics. It's a nice way of saying that as opposed to singing the lyrics. You're actually saying something, this internalized sort of thing. And it's just something that I appreciate for you. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it's a conversation. You know, I'm not up there saying, look at me, or this is all about me. I do want that two-way experience happening between, well, it's more than two ways. It's what's going on with the artists on stage, but also that exchange with the audience. And I do love taking liberties and playing with things and changing melody and playing with time, but I never want to take it so far out to where I just completely lose the meaning and essence of the song, unless it's a song that's just so playful that it's not very deep or doesn't have much of a story and you can just sit there and goof off on it, you know.
Sure. As you were saying that, I was really thinking about That Sunday, That Summer, the lyrics within that. Yeah, you're right. You're not just telling somebody your memories. You're maybe even sharing the memory with the person that shared it with you, or whatever the case is. It's really, very much a two-way conversation. Beautifully put there.
Darling, it would be at me, that way, that Sunday, that summer.
You know, I may be skipping around on the order of the things, but one of the songs that really caught my eye when I picked up this disc, West Coast Blues.
I got a baby on the East Coast, I got a gig out on the West Coast, suitcase full of sorrow. I'm so tired of traveling dues, lonely in the evening, no good make believing anyone else could make me happy, like my little darling. One of these days I'm gonna pack my bags and go way back home where I can find my baby on the East Coast. I got the blues.
Okay, my earliest loves in the world of jazz were flute and guitar. And so with that, Wes Montgomery and West Coast Blues is something I've only heard as an instrumental. No matter what the recording or who it was, I've only heard instrumental takes on this. So, Jonathan, just anything about this, your take on it versus what you were inspired by or that which introduced you to it, anything about this tune, really, and just to have it playing in the background, a great, great tune that I was pleased to discover that went more than an instrumental take.
Well, that's a fun one to sing, and it can be very playful. And yes, Wes Montgomery, most people don't know that it has lyrics. I first heard those lyrics from Nancy Wilson.
Yeah.
I think she introduced them in the early 60s after the song had, of course, already been released as an instrumental. Also, that was kind of a shout-out to Las Vegas because Monk Montgomery, Wes Montgomery's brother, founded the Las Vegas Jazz Society here in Vegas, and Wes used to come in often and meet up with him, and so there was a little history and a little shout-out to the Las Vegas Jazz Society with picking that tune.
Okay.
Oh, and that's because so cool. Of the Nancy relationship.
Sure. So this would be one of the tunes that you brought in. You were mentioning Nancy and Diane and just some of your musical heroes. Each of you brought something in. Was this the one from Nancy then for you?
Yes, this was one from Nancy.
I got the blues. Oh, one of these days I'm going to pack my bags and go way back home where I can find my baby on the East Coast. I got the blues.
West Coast Blues from Jonathan Courant and the Joe Alterman Trio. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Jonathan for this edition of KVC Arts, speaking about this great 2025 live release. And being from a concert setting, it'll most certainly have some favorites.
Do me wrong. Do me right. Tell me lies, but won't you hold me tight and save your goodbyes for the morning light? But don't let me be lonely tonight.
Well, now, something else. I count on these from you, Jonathan, and that is it would not be a Jonathan Courant release if it didn't have a James Taylor tune on it. And this is, I love this for a number of reasons. In this case, it's Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight, and this one originally showed up on your release On and On. Have you entertained the possibility of doing an all James Taylor album someday? Cool jazz.
You know, I have thought about it.
Yeah?
I have thought about it. I've recorded three of his songs now,
yeah.
This one twice. And Joe Alterman had also recorded Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight as an instrumental on one of his albums.
Mm.
And we always do it together. And over the years, since I recorded it on and On, that album, the arrangement has evolved. I did that as a medium swing on that record. And since then, I now do it as a 12-8. And it's kind of more soulful and maybe more sensual. And maybe that's a better word.
Yeah, we'll do.
So I wanted to just kind of give it an update with how we've evolved it over the years. And again, this is something that Joe and I connect on.
Let me see. So yeah, Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight.
Your Smiling Face.
That's it, Your Smiling
Secret
Face.
Secret of Life.
That's it, Secret of Life. That's on the Eclectic release. Okay, that's right. Any that you're toying around with that haven't made it to stage yet that you can let us know? Hey, someday we're going to see that. Fire and Rain, anything is...
Well, actually, you know, I love Fire and Rain. I love Steamroller.
Oh.
So there are a handful of other James Taylor ones I really like.
It'll be cool to see this someday, I hope. And if anything else, just on the releases again, it's really cool you speaking about the evolution of it. And so now we got this for those others beyond me who want to compare and contrast this kind of thing. And again, this is just a really, really cool concert setting. Nice again to know that this was put out in the order. I mean, this is the set list. So what we're seeing on the disc is something that you would have gotten if you were there that night at the Smith Center in Las Vegas. By the way, that reminds me, in my car, okay, I'm listening to the disc. When I'm in my office, I put on YouTube, and then I can watch this concert track by track as it appears. Is this live in concert release available on video as well? I mean, Beyonce, a person like me, going through it track by track?
It's not available on video, but on YouTube it is. I mean, if you want to watch it there.
Okay, you can watch it in its entirety rather than, like with me, I'm seeing the list like it's the album, so it's just track by track. Can a person click play and then kick back for, I don't know, 48 minutes or whatever it is?
No, can't watch the whole entirety, but side note here. Most of the time when you do a live album, you know, you do 2 to 4 concerts and then you pick the best takes from all the tracks.
Yeah.
We did this all in one set.
Oh.
And the only song we had to restart was your song. Please don't let me be lonely. I don't want to be lonely. Don't let me be lonely tonight. With these hands, I will cling to you. I'm yours forever and a day. And
Daphne's hand. I will bring to you a tender love.
With these hands, you mentioned Les McCann earlier, and this is one of Joe Alterman's heroes. This was one of the people that really spoke to him early on. And this was the tune, With These Hands, that I was first introduced to the song through Les McCann. I found it really funny later in life to find that it had been used on Edward Scissorhands. Just, it was funny. I think I found it later on a Joe Sample release. But now, it wasn't until getting ready for this interview that I realized just how many people have covered this. This is one that Joe Alterman then brought to the table for an idea to be on this part of the set list, as opposed to you saying it. I mean, this came together. It was very much a cooperative effort, right?
Right. We were sending songs back and forth and narrowing down the choice. But yes, this is something that we did for Les. And I first heard it through Les, too. But I think Tom Jones had the hit on it, if I'm not mistaken. The night we did the show, Les had passed away just a couple months before, so this song really was a nice tribute, and Joe spoke beautifully about Les and their relationship before we did this one.
Oh, wow. Just really, really cool. It's touching to see this song, especially this song, I should say. Touching to see a Les McCann tune. And I did want to know if it was Les's version that first came to you, and so I appreciate you hearing that as well. Stylistically, this is just a wonderful approach with this one. For this edition of KVC Arts, it's been music from and conversation with Jonathan Courant. The main focus was on the 2025 release Jonathan Courant with the Joe Alterman Trio Live in Concert. That's available at jonathancourant.com and many online music services. You can follow Jonathan on Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok, or again, jonathancourant.com. And we'll have more with Jonathan on the next KVC Arts, exploring this wonderful release. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Jonathan Courant. And here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Jessica Greenwell, and Sharina Wad. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites. And more still can be found at kvcr.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. I'll never let